Welcome to Podcast Matchmakers. This is Stephanie, your host for this experience. All right, so we are going to match one lucky podcast listener to three podcasts in this episode in a variety of different ways that we'll explain as we go. But first, I need to give a shout out to our Podcast Matchmakers community Podversaries this month. We've got three Podversaries this month. Yes! Podversary, for those of you that do not know that you need to celebrate this for your podcast, is a podcast anniversary. It's the day that you started your podcast. So on the 1st of September, the Good Patron podcast celebrated their 4-year podversary. On the 2nd, Across the Veil celebrated their 1-year podversary. And on the 16th, Look Behind the Look also celebrated their 1-year podversary. If you would like to have your podversary end up on our socials, in the newsletter, and in this podcast, there's one thing you can do. Go to podversary.com to sign up today. All right, so let's get to the matchmaking, because that's what we're here for. Welcome, Mary, to the show.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you here. Now, I've interviewed you before, but not for a podcast. So this is exciting.
Yeah, podcasts talking about podcasts.
I know, podcasting. Right? Let me quickly explain what the podcast is, since it has recently been revamped. We are here to connect a specific listener, in this case, Mary, to different podcasts that she might be matched with or might feel the need to start listening to. So in this part one, we're going to find out basically Mary's listening profile, what she's listened to, how long she's listened to podcasts, what she's looking for, and what she already listens to in that space or category, so because we don't want to match her with what she's already listening to. And and that's it. So this is a pretty quick segment, and then we're going to dive into introducing her to the podcast in many different forms, and then she'll tell us which ones drew her in that she might start listening to. So that is the podcast in a nutshell. Mary, can you please go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Mary Chan. My podcast is The Podcaster's Guide to a Visible Voice. I actually have a podcast production and consulting company, so I help other podcasters as well. So fully into the podcasting space.
fully into. And that's why this is so much fun. It's like talking to the other side of your podcasting brain, like your listener brain.
Yes, exactly. Like whenever I'm working on a podcast, I'm always thinking about the listeners in mind. Mm-hmm. And so the funny thing is then when people ask me, oh, so what are some of your favorite podcasts? And I'm like, well, it kind of depends. And mm-hmm. I listen to so many podcasts for work that I don't listen to too many outside of work. So I'm pretty mm-hmm. particular when it comes to my own listening experience.
Challenge accepted. Exactly. All right. Exactly. Oh,
that's why I was excited to come on here, because I'm like, I want to find something new and something that I'd like, but mm-hmm. similar, but not the same as all my work stuff.
Yeah. You've come to the right place, ma'am. And what kinds of podcasts do you listen to now, usually?
So, because of my work, for work purposes, I listen mm-hmm. to a lot of interview podcasts.
Yeah.
So that's one I don't want to listen to on my own free time.
Noted. No interviews. Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah. So I started in the past little while listening to more docu-series, docu-drama type mm-hmm. ones, or even ones that are more connected to what I personally am interested in, such as mm-hmm. my Asian background with the whole Asian hate crimes in the past year or so. You know, it's just bringing up a lot of these connections to mm-hmm. my personal life that I want to dig deeper into. So that's what sort of things I've been trying to find.
Do you think you'd want more of optimistic highlighting kind of ones, or more of serious down in the political what's happening kind of ones?
I've been listening more to the political, serious, here's the news, here's the background of why that happened. I never thought about it in terms of an optimistic side. Like, is it really
I don't know if it exists. But
yeah, exactly. Actually, that would be a good one. Does that exist?
Asian enough sometimes does stuff like that.
Like, I was listening to an episode with Sandra Oh on Asian Enough yesterday, actually. And that one, it did go into the rally and stuff that she did at the beginning of the hate crimes last year and stuff like that. But there was a lot that was more on the empowering, happy side. But it did have the dark. Yeah, I don't know if one can exist without the other.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And
so
I listened to that podcast too, as well. But yeah. Then it's like, it's mostly, it's an interview podcast.
It is. Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, you're going to make this really interesting.
I'm going to make this very hard.
So does it have to be non-fictional, or are you open to?
I'm open.
Fictional.
To okay. Fictional as well. As long as it is still representative, you know, of the culture, like it's come right. From somebody's experience, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
So, Yeah. It does. It comes from within the community, not somebody from the outside talking about it and trying to make sense without living it.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like some truth to it, mm-hmm. but the whole story and the characters can be contrived and created. But right. Say, for example, you know, the person has lived through this experience, but they've just changed, you know, the names of the characters yeah. and the outcome and things like that. So it still comes from some true experience.
Gotcha. So no interviews, fictional or non-fictional is fine. It sounds like
just
on the serious.
Just no straight interviews. Like if it's, so the one example that I've been listening to is from The Telegraph called Hong Kong Silence.
Yes.
So they've done interviews, but they've, you know, created the whole story behind it. So there's sound effects and music, and then they kind of take you to Hong Kong, and then they take you to London when they're interviewing somebody. So there's I want that story aspect as well.
Gotcha. That one's actually on my listening list. I haven't gotten to that yet. Do you recommend it?
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Okay. And so you want it focused on an aspect of Asian culture, it sounds like. Is that another?
Yeah, because I think that's where I'm just headed mm-hmm. to right now. That's my present day interest. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we did say serious.
If you can find one that's not so serious, that'll be great. But I just feel like it's all very serious right now.
Oh, okay. This is interesting. I like this challenge.
I thought it would be a good challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to make me work. So just so I don't set you up with your ex-boyfriend, can you tell me the podcast that you're listening to now that fit this category?
Well, I guess Hong Kong Silenced. Because not really an ex-boyfriend. I am still dating that one because they're on a break right now. There's a hiatus. Really, aside from Hong Kong Silenced, the other shows I've been listening to are all interviews. And because I work with so much interview stuff, I just need to get out of that storytelling trope almost. You know, like I need something different. I want the sound effects. I want the music. I want to be taken to that location maybe. Yeah.
I feel like there's some audio drama that might end up in this mix.
Yes. I don't mind the audio drama. I haven't really gone into that realm. So if you can find me a good one to introduce me to the audio drama world.
Okay. I have some music ones I'm thinking of too. And I have to ask the question, and this is an awkward question. What do you consider Asian?
Oh, I see. Yes. Because Asian really is a general encompassing.
And I've got, for example, I've got an Indian music podcast that I think you would like, but I don't think that's in the realm
music
of what your
genre
thinking.
No, because my parents are from Hong Kong and China, definitely leaning towards that.
Okay.
But also I have friends who are, you know, Vietnamese, Japanese, so in Korean, in that sphere.
Northeast, Southeast Asia kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's actually a very good question because Asian is very, very broad.
It's way too big of a category for a huge population of folks with very different cultures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Steph, popping in here to kind of glide you along this process And to remind you that the YouTube version of the conversation that I had with Mary is different than the audio version. It is at this point that Mary and I hopped over to Twitter and looked at the Twitter profile, the podcast Twitter profile of the three podcasts that we are looking at in this conversation. However, that does not translate well at all for this audio experience. So that is available only over on YouTube. So feel free to go to Podcast Matchmakers on YouTube to view that experience. Okay, so now in the next part you're going to hear, Mary and I will listen to samples from all three of the podcasts. Are you ready for this? I am.
This is the awesome part where we're going to listen to all three podcasts. I lost my train of thought there. I was so excited. All right. So Mary, of the three, I'll give you the choice of which one you want to listen to first. There's Uncanny Japan, the Woolman podcast, and the one that's not loading, Two Book Nerds Talking.
I'm going to go with Uncanny Japan.
You want to start with the one? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Earlier today, I asked you, when you listen to a new podcast, do you listen to the beginning or do you listen in the middle just to get a sense before you start listening to the whole thing? And you said the beginning.
Yes.
So I figured we would start at the beginning, do the intro, and then skip to somewhere in the middle and get a sense of the middle bits, maybe a minute in there too.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do this.
You know something I haven't done in a long while? Interesting language quirks. So today, how about we talk about some curious yokai-related Japanese sayings? Now, I'll try to explain these in a way that's fun and easy to understand for listeners who are just at the beginning of their Japanese language studies, all the way up to more intermediate learners. And don't worry if you know zero Japanese, because they're all so fascinating, you don't even have to know the language to enjoy them. For example, if you were in a group of Japanese speakers and someone told you that you were going to turn into a tengu, one of those red-faced, long-nosed mountain goblins, what would they mean? Or perhaps those same friends advise you that you should do the laundry while the ogre or the oni has stepped out. What's up with that? Well, we'll cover those and a handful more in just a second. There are transcripts over on the Uncanny Japan website.
Okay, so that feels like the intro. So let's
Uncanny
try to...
Uncanny Japan, it's best to use it in a self-deprecating manner. Delicious on the first brewing. So basically, everything has its time. It's important to note that this is not praising someone. It's best to use it in a self-deprecating manner. You'd never ever use it towards someone else unless you were being mean. Oni are these vile, ugly creatures, but for a brief moment, they are beautiful. Bancha is this really low-grade tea, but the first cup isn't so bad. Again, it's easier to understand in context. Example, someone tells you, congratulations on your son's engagement. Since your son is still living at home at age 46, you could say something like, yes, he's finally getting married. You know what they say. Oni mo juhachi, bancha mo debana. Let's move on to number 5. Here's another interesting one. And we're still talking about oni. While I had never heard this before, all my Japanese friends had, so that's good. It means I'm not getting too obscure here. It's short, easy to remember, and a wee bit creepy. Okay, ready? Kiseki ni iru. I have no confidence on my pronunciation of the word kiseki, but it's not miracle, which is also kiseki.
Okay, that's about a minute from the middle there. Okay. So I got the binauralness this time because I had my earbuds in. So what, if anything, drew you into that audio?
I really liked the history part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize maybe I would enjoy that as much, but yes, I like the learning. I was first interested in even that title,
because I had an experience about learning about the yokai, which are all the ghosts at one point.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that'd be interesting to learn more about the history of all of that. So I'm intrigued.
Sweet. Yes. I am super fascinated with yokai. When I lived in Japan, I actually found in English a book of yokai that like quickly described each one, and I brought it to my English language classrooms. And so I was able to talk to my Japanese students about it. It was so cool.
Fun.
Because then you see the creatures or the figurines and the impressions of them, pictures of them all around the place. And then I finally understood what some of them meant. So yeah, it was a little bit selfish for me to pick this one, but I also thought that you would find it interesting. So I'm super glad. And it's a language related one. And I knew that you're language curious. All right.
Ah, that's a good word.
Wah, wah, wah. Okay. So now we have the Woman Podcast in China and two book nerds talking from Malaysia.
Woman.
Okay, and this one's called Downsizing in Dali. Have you heard of Dali, China?
No, I have not.
Ha ha ha. Okay, if they don't explain it in the intro, I'll stop before the middle point and do it. But they might very well, so far be it for me to do it. So if you could just give me a quick thumbs up that you can hear it when we start, that'd be amazing. So here's the intro.
Welcome to the latest episode of Woman Podcast. Recently in Chinese media, there have been a lot of discussion about young people who used to be living and working in big cities like Beijing or Shanghai. Now, many of them are making new decisions to leave behind their life in the big cities and move to smaller cities like second tier or third tier cities, and some even move to the countryside, kind of like a new phenomenon in China, because it seems like in the older generations, everyone seems to be working very hard to come to big cities and try to settle down and have a life, a family, and have a career, and probably spend their whole life in the big cities. So Feather is our guest today, who is one of the people moved away from Beijing and now live in Dali for several years. For audience who don't know where Dali is, it is a small city in the southwest China in Yunnan province. The city in recent years attracted a lot of freelance writers, artists, and people do all kinds of jobs who try to escape from the big cities and for green air, really green environment, and very good weather. Welcome, Feather. And Feather, do you want to first?
Okay. So that's the intro, and they did explain Dali, so I'm off the hook. All right. So let's skip somewhere in the middle here.
Here also had experience of living abroad. And then during this pandemic, you can't go abroad. Many people moved here. And then I see there are many other different small parts, like this village or small cities are becoming popular because maybe one or two people moved there and build a really nice guest house and became popular. It would actually encourage people to travel there. But in that sense, that place has to be easier for people to reach, right? Like the transportation, communication. So here, at least Dali now at the moment is quite mature. It's already developed in that sense because of the tourists and stuff. I mean, there are so many pretty places in Yunnan and also in other provinces, right? But then if it's too isolated, then I guess it's a bit tricky.
I think you also mentioned that we mentioned that there are a lot of like online influencers, bloggers who make a place popular. Maybe it doesn't have a long history as long as Dali has, but there are all kinds of places. So the lifestyle of the rural village bloggers are trying to promote. Do you think that is a new phenomenon in China?
Oh, and we'll leave it on that cliffhanger. So again, not good or bad, but was there anything in those clips that drew you into the podcast and would make you want to listen to more?
Yeah, just because it's from China, which is my heritage. And I don't know much about China except for the Hong Kong area because that's where my parents are from. Mm-hmm. And so it's very interesting to learn more about, you know, smaller towns mm-hmm. and villages. So that really drew me in. Also because I'm in Canada, which is in a medium to small-ish town. I mean, it's outside of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So I feel that connection to what they were saying in the intro about how because of the pandemic, everybody's moving to the smaller towns and getting away from the big cities. I was like, ooh, I'd love to learn more about this.
Yeah.
But then as it kept going, I was like, this is an interview podcast.
It is.
Oh, no. I know. It's like,
yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard because, like I said, sometimes it's usually part interview or sometimes mostly, but it's usually a mix between the hosts talking to each other and then that, which is still probably considered an interview. I know it was cheating, but I just, some of the topics really got me going. Okay. So, cheater done.
Yes.
Third one, the book one that I know you're not looking forward to, but I hope this changed your mind a little bit. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Two book nerds talking.
Xin chào, everyone. And thanks for tuning in for another episode of Two Book Nerds Talking with me, Diana, and my book dragon partner, Hani Ahmad.
Xin chào, everyone. What does that make you? My book bunny partner? Are we talking Chinese zodiac?
Instead of bookworm, book dragon sounds better.
Oh, nice. Okay. And bonjour, everyone. Bonjour, ça va? Both are appropriate today because we are talking Viet Thanh Nguyen's The Committed, which is the story of Vietnamese refugees in Paris.
And if you enjoyed Viet Thanh Nguyen's 2015 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer, you'll know why we're so excited about the release of its sequel, The Committed. The Committed picks up exactly where The Sympathizer leaves off, and it follows our nameless bastard narrator into his next life as a refugee in Paris, France.
Indeed, the so-called man of two faces and two minds is back. He is still an idealist, still a philosopher, still someone who can't keep himself out of trouble and who struggles to find his identity. You basically spend most of this book inside his head, and it's quite full on.
Okay, so that's part of the intro. Let's jump in the middle.
Face even now, forever gentle, forever youthful, having been younger than me when she died. I could remember my shock and then my rage when she told me the story about my father feeding her rice. My mother weeping, she held me close in a way no woman has before or since and said, "Forgive him, my darling." I have forgiven him. Without him, I would not have you, whom I love more than my own life. Even if it's the last thing you do, you forgive your father. "What are you crying for?" Vaughn asked me when we stepped off stage. "Nothing," I said, wiping the tears from my eyes. "Absolutely nothing."
I would like to touch upon the shows that they have to put up.
Oh.
Do you enjoy those? Because they had to do like a cultural show for like the, I guess it's like their national day or something, right?
Yeah.
And this sort of like sentimental, epic-y, almost communist-y kind of big shows about the idyllic.
Think of Madame Butterfly and stuff like that, you know?
Like
Okay, they had an audio clip. I didn't remember that from the ones I've listened to. Well,
yeah,
what do you think?
That was fun. I love that they added music with the Parisian music off the beginning. The audio clip was really enticing. I like that they, you know, have their back and forth, so it's not interview based. Going back to your comment about it not being my favorite one, only because when I hear it's about books, which means there's more content that I have to consume. Like I have to go and listen to the book and I'm like, I don't have time. I don't want, but now that I like hear this book, I'm like, I want to know more about this book, which means I might have to go get the audiobook.
See, for me, I read so much. I read and listen to so much that I assume I will never get to all the books. So sometimes I'll actually just listen to podcasts on the books and not read the books. Is that a terrible thing? Yeah. Like it's sort of my old fashioned cliff notes. Instead of, and sometimes it does inspire me to get the book, but sometimes I'm like, you know what? That's enough for me. I'm good. Yeah. So
That's a good perspective. I never thought of it that way.
But because there's so much, there's so, and the more you read, the more you find that there's out there. So okay, so
I think it's almost like a gateway drug.
It is. It very much so is. But there's worse. There's worse drugs. Yes, there's worse things to be addicted to.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Hey, Steph popping in again. All right. So after Mary and I listened to those audio bits, we then hopped over to the websites of all three of the podcasts and checked out the episode titles. But similar to the Twitter experience, that is a very visual one and it just didn't translate into audio. So if you'd like to see that video of Mary reacting to the different episode titles and seeing which ones really caught her eye, which if you're a podcaster, I think you'll find rather interesting to see how effective podcast episode titles can really be, then do go over to YouTube and check that video out. Also, the things that Mary and I are doing here are some of the things that I do during the podcast audits that we have at Podcast Matchmakers. If you go to podcastmatchmakers.com, you can see the full list of the different audits that we have available for independent podcasters just like you. We do Twitter audits, we do audio audits, and we're going to add on more as time goes on. These audits came out of the Podcast Review Day community when I saw our community members missing tiny little things that they could put in their Twitter account, in their podcast, and so on that would help attract and engage the right listeners for their podcasts. So as the community evolves, so will these audits. So do check out Podcast Matchmakers and order your audit whenever you're ready. All right, so this next part is when we hear Mary's final thoughts on the podcast that she's been, you know, introduced to today. And which one does she feel, or which ones does she feel are a good match for her earbuds?
Okay, so we listened to clips from all three of them, and it sounds like, do I have this right? It sounds like there were something from all three that might be a kind of match, or that you might listen to some of them afterwards?
Yeah, there was a little bit in each one. Yeah. So I would definitely go back and check out some more of their titles.
Yeah.
Of their episodes, just to see which one will entice me a bit more. Yeah, I'm a real audio person, as you know, helping people create podcasts, radio background. So it was when we were listening to all the episode clips, and that's when I pretty much made a decision, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
But it was also nice to talk with you through it about especially the book one, where I kind of had a wall put up about, oh no, books. I have to go read all these books now after I listen to an episode.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that, you know, you gave me that permission to, no, you don't have to read the books after. I'm like, okay, that's great. I love the banter between the two of them. So I might go back to that one. Just if I'm interested in knowing more about new titles that come out or something like that, or I've seen a title, maybe I'll go to that podcast to see if they reviewed it. I do like the Uncanny Japan one just because some of those titles are really intriguing, like the adorable tofu thing. So I might go back and just listen to select episodes, but I think my heart is still calling towards the Woman podcast just because it's China and it's although it's interview based, it still got me because I'm like, I want to know more about that history and what's happening now and from the eyes of these young ladies. So I'm probably going to listen mostly to that one.
Right. I get that. Okay. And I think any of the three would be good choices to go with. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually going to subscribe to all three. But it's just, you know, what I'm actually going to listen to, I'm going to pick and choose, right?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, of course. It, you know what? Even at this point, I know, and I'm sure similar to you, I know about so many podcasts and I subscribe to subscribe or follow to so many that I do not listen to every podcast of even my favorite episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the reality of being in the biz.
Exactly.
Amazing. Oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I was so nervous about this one because it's only the second time we're doing this and I'm not quite sure. Like, there's ones I gravitate towards, but I'm trying to keep in mind you and your preferences and those kinds of things. And I slid in an interview, a kind of interview one. So I'm super relieved that that was not left on the cutting room floor and all that kind of stuff. Wonderful. That was so much fun. So Mary, before we go, can you remind folks where they can find you online?
Yes, you can find me on my website, organizedsound.ca, organized with a Z or Z, Z Canadian. And or it's Organized Sound Productions for all the Instagram and all those other fun places.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being a podcast matchmaker.
Thank you for finding these new shows for me to listen to now.
My pleasure. And yeah, podcastmatchmakers.com is where you can find all of our episodes, information, services, and so on. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye.